Start the recording. I don't know if Amal will join us. He was just on the TSC call. That's where I was a second ago too. But let's get started. So welcome to the January 30th meeting of the 5G use case team meeting. And from last time, there was still this problem with the CMPV2 and AF status. So I had just reported on the TSC just a minute ago about this as well. So today, the TSC, the REQ140, so the status that I got was that it's under development. Okay, and let's see. We created a repo, and that they're planning to deliver these things, but no integration. But these will be possible with Frankware. This is literally the status. So, confirm that they can access the status and Nokia planning to deliver the cert service client and integration with external BPM2, but no integration with some of these other modules is the okay.
But the integration with STNC and DCAE anyway has separate requirements. Okay. They are not part of 140.
Oh, these have separate requirements. Is that what you said?
Yes. So there's a 140 is the kind of the common part in AAF, including a client component that can be reused. But then there's kind of an integration work in the SDNC and some of the DCAE components. Those integrations have separate requirements. But of course, this creates a dependency. So those other requirements depend on this 140 being delivered with enough time to actually do the integration.
I see. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's see. So at the PTL call, they were going over. Stop it. Shoot. Stop scrolling. Okay, so they were going over the Frankfurt release requirements, and they were going over anything that was basically not green, which the CMPV2 stuff was. And that affected three other use cases.
Yeah, those three others, it was the dependencies that I talked about.
Okay, I see, okay. Yeah, and there was another one for Andy Mayer too, which I sent him an email, and he's on a call actually. The The allotted resource, somewhere here, there was something that was not green. So this modeling documentation of allotted resource model?
Yeah, I'm working that with Kevin this week.
Okay, all right. Do you know, is it going to be, they were concerned because it's marked as still under review. Is that and holding anything up? Why?
It's modeling only, so I don't think it's holding up any coding. I think we just need to update the status.
And does that mean the status can be green? I mean, why would it be yellow?
That I don't know.
Okay.
We just changed owners because Kevin was the owner of that, so I need to sync with him. And then we have, Gil was heavily involved in that. And also meeting with Gil this week too to see what we can do to progress that.
But your feeling is it probably shouldn't be yellow, right?
Well, it's not blocking anything, so I don't know. It's just we need to update the status.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I'll let you know later. Well, we have a call Friday, so.
Yeah, okay. All right. So the TSC had asked both the Nokia team, and I contacted Damien, and because Pavel's sick right now. And they asked me to ask Andy to also join the Monday PTL call.
Okay.
And they also
regarding allotted resource.
Yes, correct. And Damien told me that he'll try to join if he can, to give some status on REQ 140. So this is the latest status that I have, directly from Damien. So, Powell though is out, has been out sick for 2 weeks. Okay. There was also when I had left the TSC call right before this one, there was also a lot of discussion about the securities. There were a lot of security requirements that were still marked yellow. All these SecCom things were if you go across where I think many of them had yellow or red status. I don't know if we need to discuss any of these or if any of these are important to people. Okay. I see Bob joined. All right, the next, Marge and Vimal are working the harmonization use case, and it was noted that some things were pushed out of that.
yes.
Which the TSC didn't get hung up on because it was marked green, so I think you're okay there. There's some red text that some stuff got moved out, but because it was partial green, they actually didn't stop on this point. So I think you're fine. The only thing is, last week you had said that fault and config change CM notify would be pushed out of R7. So Joanne was asking me about that last week. So Joanne, we've confirmed CM notify will be pushed out of R7. However, I think
not out of R7. Oh. Pushed to R7. Oh, put, right?
Yeah. Pushed to R7. Right. But Sandeep actually told me they're just for POC purposes, they're creating a simulator of the CM notify event just to test some stuff. So we might end up using that in the runtime config DB use case.
I talked to Sandeep about some of the meeting for the CGSDK. I think maybe you and I may try to sync up meeting, right? So the thing up with Sandeep, that the one maybe Vapor, right? Maybe just try to, just for the, you know, for Frankfurt release, they try to do something, but may not be fully functional until, you know, Nokia do the CM notify in the R7. So maybe we can take offline to talk about what they have so far for R6. It's just for the few configuration parameters with the simulation type of CM notify. It's been may not even fully comply the specification.
Yeah. Can I just say something though? The reason the CM notify and the fault are pulled out of the harmonization use case, just so everybody on this call knows, is because there's an ongoing discussion that remains with 3GPP on how to do this harmonization. And so we didn't want to introduce something in Frankfurt that then would get changed in Guilin. So the discussions are going on with the SA5 representatives and with folks. We're trying to get folks from VES engaged as well to figure out what the best way forward is. I think we're kind of close to resolving that, but it's not going to make, I don't think it'll make any more Frankfurt simply because of the time. I would want to say though also that the VES specification does need to get updated, and Trevor Lovett, I believe, is taking over those duties from Rich Erickson to update, and he has already got a document update for 7.1.1 out for review, and that is important because there were some changes that might be needed by the different use cases for Frankfurt that need to be documented in both the event listener and the event registration documents. And so Trevor has taken the action to create a CR for those. We did get a reviewer. I reached out to Oscar to get Ericsson reviewers, and Nokia's got some reviewers. I think Trevor's got a few other people doing the review, but I only bring it up here in case anybody else, you know, wants to review those CRs. Trevor has them posted. I just wanted to kind of, but that update to VES does not include the fault and CM notified. Those are going to go into VES 7.2, which will be attached to Guilin.
So the CM notify, the specification is not done yet. It will be pushed out to, will be the Guilin release for
And that's R7, because, right? because SA5 is and ONAP harmonization are still being discussed, so we just want to do this once.
Okay.
Thanks, Marge. Did we go to the DACA project meeting?
It's going to happen in just a little bit, I think.
Okay. Are we planning to go?
I was not planning to go today, but I may if we end early here. I do know that there is email out on some of these topics and on the harmonization topic. And Gerard Hines, who's very active in VES, is pulling in some VES experts. And David Kinsey, who's an ORAN, ONAP guy, is also getting involved in looking at some of those harmonization realization options. So I think that kind of the right people are already going on this. And I think what we want to do is perhaps David Smith, And Jean-Michel Cornely from David Smith from AT&T and Jean-Michel Cornely from Orange are going to call a meeting with some of these VEZ ONAP experts, as well as, you know, some other representatives from Ericsson and Nokia. And I'm not sure if there were any other companies that got involved or not. And just to talk about different options for this harmonization. So I think we don't really have to bring, I think that meeting should happen before we bring it up in the DCAE call, because then in DCAE, there can be a proposal that, okay. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, Marty, the question for the what are the specification also will be in line with the ORAN specification or just the ONAP specification?
No, what we're working to try to do is have ORAN, ONAP, and 3GPP aligned.
Okay.
That'd just be better for everybody.
Right, great. Okay, any questions or remarks on these 2 points? We did see from Trevor that there was a review sent out for the CRN update that he made. So that's good. Oscar, did you have, I think we were missing some contacts from Ericsson who might not have been involved, engaged. Did you see that? Are you aware of this review?
Yes, I have received that information about the ongoing review of VES 7.1.1 and also the small update to the VES registration of ISTAS 3.2.1.
Okay. So,
I have that.
And are there other people, Zhu or Michaela, or other people you think we need to make sure are in the loop?
Yeah, I have forwarded internally. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks. I don't know why I can't find you in the directory. That's really weird. Okay. All right. So we are past M2 now. That happened on January 21. And the next milestone is M4, which is March 5. And I don't know that the TSC formally, they were still discussing it just right before this call. They were discussing the status of R6. And that's what I mentioned here, the status of our M2 and M3 status. So,
I see some of the comments you have pasted above from Damien, I believe.
Yeah.
So I actually want to go back to this point. Uh-huh. It says in point D. So I thought when he said no integration with many ONAP modules that it was not part of requirement 140, but here you actually say postponed to R7. Not even aware that we have had this discussion because it's a joint effort between Ericsson and Nokia.
So I don't know. This is literally just text from him, so I'm not sure why he thinks these can't happen. Maybe I can send an email, or let me see. So
the also can you elaborate the DFC data function collection? What would change for the R6?
So this is related to the certificate enrollment. So we want that these border components that are directly interfacing the network with the NetConf FTP and VES and so on have proper certificates when they're communicating with the network. So that is really one of the problems we try to solve.
So the, which means any one operator will use that DFC, we gotta have a certificate from the operator to the vendor to get a certification to get the tunnel for the NetCon, yeah?
Yeah, the ambition is to sort of solve this problem for several protocols, the NetConf, over TLS, the FTP, over TLS, and also VES over TLS, so that the UNAP side has the correct certificates that normally then would come from the service providers, own CA infrastructure.
So this function will be in place R6 or R7 in the...
Yeah, so the, I guess that is the question, how much we actually manage to implement in R6, because there's a lack of time, I believe, now.
Okay.
Yeah. Damian joined.
Hi, Damian. Thanks for joining.
Yes, hi. When you were asking some questions about this, probably, right?
Yeah, I noticed Ben had pasted some comments, I believe they came from you originally, that mm-hmm. some things had been postponed to R7, so that was a bit surprised to me.
Yeah, maybe it could be. So the story is the following, right? I mean, we are working on this CMPv2 integration, right? I mean, I don't know, I hope it's clear to the community here what we are doing exactly, right? But in a nutshell, we are doing like two things, right? So one thing is this cert service, right? Like the REST server that that will accept the request from this cert service client. And cert service client shall be deployed as the init container with all the ONAP applications, mainly DCAE applications, but not only DCAE applications, right? And then when we start such an application, the cert service client should provide the like identity of that application and all the other things that are required in a CSR, so certificate signing request or something like that, right? And this thing has to be provided to the cert service, right? So what I wanted to tell with this comment that Ben has given is that we will probably be able to create this VES service. We will probably be able to reuse this CMPv2 client that has been provided by the teams within Ericsson. And we should be able to provide as well this cert service client, right? But then this cert service client should be integrated as this init container with those ONAP applications that I mentioned or explained before, right? Probably DCAE VES, DCAE DFC, maybe SDNC, and so on. So this last thing is a part where, with what we have right now, and right now we have end of January, we have February and 1 week of March until M4. This last part, I'm really not sure if we will be able to do. We will be able to do the cert service, we will be able to do the cert service client, but I'm not sure if we will be able to work with all of those components that I mentioned to have this cert service client as an init container, right? And that's the first statement. I cannot do better than that. Unfortunately, I cannot do better than that.
Yeah, so I agree. There's definitely a risk that all that cannot be finished. But yeah. I mean, there's still a difference in saying that there is a risk it will not be done than you have sort of already decided to postpone it. And actually, one of these integration tasks is sort of Ericsson, assigned to Ericsson. So, I mean, for us to actually start that, of course, we need this cert service and client.
Right. I mean, What we have at the moment is that we have this repo created, and we are working on the final architecture of that. I mean, repo, this cert service repo, where this cert service code and cert service client code will be stored, right? So we have that repo already. Now we are discussing. I mean, we are doing the last discussions about the architecture of this whole thing, the REST interface, which should be there, and so on. So, I mean, we can say there is a risk that we will not deliver this last part. I mean, but it's like this, the probability of this risk to materialize is definitely higher than 50%. Maybe it's even 80%, right? So to be honest, in the situation where we are, we will make our best to deliver the shared service and shared service client, but we might not be able to deliver the integrations of the shared service client with those, we call it ONAP bordering components, right? So the ones which interface or interact with external network functions, I mean, external from ONAP. And I mean, unfortunately, I cannot do anything better than that at this moment.
Okay, so do we want to make a hard statement that this is postponed or is very likely to be postponed?
I mean, this integration part, right? Because yeah. I want to be really clear on this. It's only about this integration part. For this integration part, the risk that we won't be able to do it is pretty high, right? I mean, to give an example, we haven't even discussed with DCAE PTL, who is Vijay, right? To describe this and to agree with him how we do it, right? And then we are as well hit by the absence of Pavel. So he's a little bit ill and he's staying home like for the last 2 weeks, more or less. Right, so it's really like we are really hit with this, right? So this is where the risk come from, right? So this integration is definitely on risk. All the other things, so the creation of the shared service client, this should be doable. But the integration to border components, that is really on high risk for me.
So I would say that for SDNC, the really the only. Or not, maybe not only, but the main risk is when the other functions are available, because I think we have the capacity to do the actual integration.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't say that it will be available before March, right? So end of February, beginning of March. But honestly speaking, we haven't done very detailed estimations of the software that will have to be done, right? Reason being, we agreed that we will do the software in this shape 2 weeks ago, right? Not 2 months ago.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, unfortunately, we might not be ready to deliver this end to end, right? To make it usable in ONAP Frankfurt because of different reasons, right? But I'm trying to be as much transparent as I can with you, right? And give you the most details of this, right? And to be fair. Currently, honestly speaking, we target to deliver the shared service and shared service client, right? If it would be possible to integrate it, at least with one component within DCAE, as like to give a reference, kind of, that would be great. But I really have doubts if we would be able to do this in 1 month and 1 week, actually.
So let me ask you because other people are also going to ask you, what's the worst case scenario? If you don't deliver this piece, what will be the negative effects to, right? What will be the consequences to ONAP?
Yeah, the consequence would be pretty harsh in a way that the external network functions, right? They will not have an automated, or maybe like this. In a scenario where you integrate ONAP with an external network function, right? 3GPP based, right? You will not be able to distribute certificates generated in the external CA, right? So not in AAF, but an external CA, you won't be able to distribute those certificates within ONAP, right? So that would mean you will still be able to integrate such a network function with ONAP, but you would have to bring those certificates manually to those bordering ONAP components. You won't be able to do it manually, right? So like the functionality or the feasibility to have like functions, network functions integrated with TLS based connections, it will be there, but the distribution of the certificates within ONAP won't be there, right? So manually it will be possible, it will be painful, right? But possible. So this automation in distribution will be missing, actually.
So Damien, I have a question. So the certificate will be built in the network function, right? For the device, right? So then the distribution, go ahead. The distribution will be including to the vendor, like say the YAN model, you're onboarding the YAN model in there too for the certification, the certificate.
No. I think we are mixing a little bit, right? So the way how we do it is that you have an external CA, certificate authority, right? And I'm not an expert in here, Pavel is, right? So I might be mixing up stuff. So stop me if I'm telling a nonsense, right? But the idea that we have in mind was that we have an external certificate authority, and the network functions, they contact the certificate authority by themselves. Right, and they get the certificates. Now, what we do at the same time is that we integrate ONAP with CMP V2 client, right, and this search service, right. We integrate ONAP to this to the same external certificate authority, right. And then when we integrate that specific box, right, when we integrate this network function, it's gonna get the certificate from the external CA itself, and on the ONAP side, we will have as well a certificate generated by the same certificate authority with, let's say, a matching sequence of certificates or with matching trust anchors, right? And this certificate will be loaded to an ONAP component, right? So you do not have to load it manually. So it's actually the automation on the ONAP side, not on the network function side. And I don't think we were actually planning to do any onboarding of this of these things in ONAP, right? So it's distribution within ONAP.
Okay, because I'm thinking, because you have device, right? You want to have certificate in the SDNR, right? You also need to have certificate in the DCAE component. At least, right? So
yes.
Then how the certification get into the two application as basically, right? You're going to have the model distribution or just manually put into the DCAE and the SDNR?
No. So I think what we are missing here in the discussion, and I'm maybe not the best person to talk about it because I'm not working. I mean, I do not work hands on this, right? We would have to go back to some slides that Pavel was distributing. I'm not sure if I can dig those slides that easily, but I think looking at these slides, you will see that within this internal distribution, right? So we are not bringing the certificates in any onboarding packages, as I have said, right? They have to be generated, and there is a mechanism to generate them, right? So the thing is that within ONAP, we should have, as I said, the certificate of the cert service that will actually contact this external CMP V2 server, and there will be cert service clients that will be integrated with ONAP modules, right? So when, let's say, a DCAE VES collector starts up, it's gonna create a request to the cert service using the cert service client. There are maybe 10 or 15 parameters, I do not recall exactly, but the number of parameters that this component should give, right, to make it possible to generate the certificate, right? And then this request will be sent to the cert service, and the cert service, using the CMP V2 client, will send such a request to this external CA, right? And then, of course, the certificate, if everything is fine, the certificate would be brought back to the cert service and then distributed to the container or to the pod running this component, running this VES collector, right? We will probably put it on a volume, maybe a non-persistent volume, right? Where the certificate will be stored and consumed by the component when it starts, right? And then we are making it on such, let's say, such a simple approach where we say, okay, we will not really, maybe we will not really check when we are doing this validation. We will just check if they have one of the common trust anchors in this hierarchy of CAs, right? So this is how those certificates will be brought to the ONAP components. But as I said, I'm not the best person to talk about it, right? I mean, I'm like, you know, a good neighbor of Pavel. That's why I know some of these things. But Pavel knows, Pavel knows the details because he was kind of like architecting that part.
Okay.
There should be as well a presentation attached to the architecture committee issue, and that is Req 140, or I mean requirement 140, let me find it, and I will try to share it here in the chat. Maybe there are some more details, but me myself, I cannot give more details at this moment.
Okay, thank you. So just a quick thing. So the specification that the Aura need to do something in line with the security certificates, or just only for ONAP?
I mean, it is actually a 3GPP requirement if it comes to network functions, right? As far as I recall, it is a mechanism that 3GPP requires, right? I'm not really sure about ORAN. I think you mentioned ORAN, right? So I'm not really sure what ORAN says about it, right? But we try to make it in a way that ORAN more or less like consumes maximum of what 3GPP gives, right? And this CMPV2 mechanism is like 3GPP originating, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I have given in the chat the link to this ONAP architecture committee, let's say, Jira story, where we discuss about it. There may be some more details about it in there.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Yeah.
Any other questions for Damien? Thanks, Damien.
Yeah, thank you, guys. So I'm going to run for the DCAE meeting, actually.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, take care.
So we are, again, past M3 and 4 now, and I don't know if there's any other things we need to discuss. I mean, the only really sort of open thing is maybe the read the doc stuff, which isn't really super crucial until M4. does anybody have anything else on M2 or M3 that we think we need to hit? Okay, so we've been covering some of the, in the past few weeks, some of this M2 and M4 stuff, M3 stuff, and we've talked about the read the docs. I've tried to contact Sophia Wallen, but I haven't been able to reach her, but we did say that there is a doc team meeting at 8 a.m. on Thursday, so I should have created a Outlook maker for myself, but maybe we can attend that, and I'll create a maker and then Outlook maker, and everybody can join in on that. While we have Andy on the call, there's also a point for Andy, and we're at a point where it's actually really good to maybe think about this. So Andy, if you recall, some months ago, we were looking at this proposed functional template, use case template. And we said, well, you know, we sort of have some time, and maybe before Guilin R7, maybe we would want to use this. And I think that since Ala just sent last week the request for new requirements for our R7, maybe we should try to get this at a point where we want to use this for R7 for our use cases. Do you want to say some more?
Yeah, I mean, this is a template that we've been using in MEF and TM form, very similar at least. So it's a way of kind of describing the use case, but also, and very importantly, describing the types of information that flows between the various elements. And that helps us identify the shared information that we can maybe use for some modeling efforts as well.
Right, and I think you had also mentioned some of the preconditions and postconditions help the modeling team understand the type of data that might need to be modeled, and which is kind of missing in our current use case descriptions, right? So if we look at a current use case description, it doesn't have a lot of this sort of information in it. I mean, it has a lot of good stuff too. It has business drivers and, you know, a development impact table and things, but it doesn't have these sort of things you would have that you might expect to describe a use case. But
Exactly. So, you know, it helps us identify, you know, impacts on modeling, but also APIs.
But I think one thing is this is proposed. Maybe we need to go to Ala's use case meeting, which unfortunately is the same time as the modeling meeting that you and I both attend every Monday. So I think, do you need to meet with Scott to like make this, do you feel this is at a point where it can be presented and proposed to say, let's adopt this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right. So I think the next step is to go to Ala's Monday call and she can also push it to get adopted by all use cases working in Guilin. So,
that sounds like a good plan. Perhaps we should share it with the architecture team as well.
Will this direction change any in the fact that the use case committee now is going towards just being requirements?
Yeah, that's a good question. So you kind of wonder, if we will drive requirements through use cases still.
So now Ala has, I guess the TSE has decided maybe with this thing that things aren't called use cases anymore, they're just called requirements. That's what I heard was going to happen in R7. But, you know, it still applies. Whether you call it a requirement or use case, the work we're doing is essentially all of these are still relevant. You might just need to retitle this a requirement or something, but whatever.
I mean, has that team like defined what the role is and what types of how they're going to document requirements?
So there is I don't know if there's going to be a new template, but people have been using this old template. So the template that's currently used, let me see if I can find it. Oh, wait, I think I already have a link to it. So this is the previous template here, I think. No, that's not it. Yeah, this is the current template that's used by the team. So the question is maybe this needs to be updated or something, or to incorporate some of the ideas from that other one, from the one that you're working on.
Yeah. I think it could be good to actually bring this up in the requirements subcommittee meeting. What type of format to use as input, use for input to the requirements review, because I knew there was also a statement that we should not go into, for example, realization aspects that should be actually moved out of the requirements review, for example. So it'd be good to have some clarification of what type of information, how much information to provide in the first step when we're just sort of reviewing the proposed requirements for next release.
Yeah, that's a good point, Oscar. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe I need to attend, it's tough because I can't attend two meetings at the same time. Maybe next Monday I'll attend part of the modeling call and part of the use case call. Or part of the requirements, it's now called the requirements subcommittee call. Anybody have any other thoughts on this as we start to think about R7? So there was another thing too. I see there's two different templates. this use case template and this proposed functional template for use cases, do we need to kind of merge these two things? Should we drop one of these two? You know, that's going to cause confusion to have two things like this.
It might be a good idea to, you know, kind of compare the purpose of both of them. It'd probably be a good idea to have, you know, one template to follow, and maybe it's populated in phases.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no way that three templates are going to get used. But even if we're proposing some new things to be added to the existing template, we probably just want to have one cogent proposal, not two. So maybe, I mean, I think maybe we start with this one looks more cogent to me. If you want to, I'll put in the chat these two separate ones. You probably have it already, but. Maybe why don't you take a look at these two separate ones and see if you want to merge anything. And so I'll, you know, if you want to attend on Monday or I can attend on the Monday call as well, I can at least mention it. That now that we're at a point where they're starting to think about our seven.
Might be moot too, because they might say, no, we have a whole different form. We're not going to use these.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, the form that I'm aware of that's currently used is this. And I don't think Andy's proposing let's remove that other form, but maybe incorporate some of this information into the existing template. I don't see them as mutually exclusive. I mean, there's stuff in this template now, like development status and testing and flow. I mean, these are all very useful and things also, which I don't see going away. I think rather maybe this table would be kind of incorporated into the existing template.
Andy, did you say Meph kind of uses something like this? Or was that for something else?
Yeah, Meph uses that, the template that Ben was showing before that shows the interactions and information flows. We also, in TM form, you know, have applied a very similar kind of template.
Okay.
But I guess, you know, the question is, if you don't have, you know, use cases anymore, you know, are people going to, you know, is that one of the things we're asking, you know, people that write requirements to do?
Yeah, I think we need like a cogent definition of what is a requirement and what is a use case. I tried to ask at the in fact, it was a thing here. I tried to ask at the, ooh, where is it? So I asked at the TSC, like, what's the difference between a requirement and a use case in your mind? And they haven't really, I asked in September, and they haven't really given a great formal definition. So if you look on the on the release planning page, which is here, see, there's a section of requirements here, or use cases rather, and then most of where everything else that we work on is requirements. And I think they're looking to merge these two things together because that was causing confusion. I think that's one of the things. But a use case is basically, you know, a cohesive set of deliverables that accomplishes a particular function, right? So, but a requirement, in my mind, a requirement is an anatomical part of a use case, not a whole use case.
Yeah, usually you use use cases to drive requirements.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what their thinking was there.
I mean, unless the requirement's, you know, a very high level requirement. Maybe they're saying the requirement's the same as a capability. I don't know.
Right. So, but anyway, maybe we need to get some more clarity on that. Okay. We're starting to run out of time here. We have just a few minutes left. Does anybody else want to report on any or anything of our basic use cases? Floor's open to anybody who wants it. Okay, so then let me just give some recent information. So yesterday I gave a presentation on the 5G service model, which is here. Right. Oh, here. I don't know why I have it in two separate places here. Okay, so I gave a presentation on the 5G service modeling, and it was I think it was this one here. So I gave the presentation on the use case realization call on 29th. You can listen to can listen to the recording. I also uploaded the slides. The spreadsheet that I gave the presentation on. So I think the next step, Andy was on the call also, is maybe to go to the modeling subcommittee and reserve some time to give an abbreviated form of that presentation to see where to proceed next. I've already gone to the ANAI subcommittee also, or team, to make them aware of this work and that maybe something might get incorporated into something might enhance the ANI schema based on discussions with the modeling subcommittee. Okay.
So Ben, when you present that to the modeling subcommittee, if you could please make very clear what your request is.
Yeah. Right.
And then we can maybe help that, use that to help drive the requirements for G.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, let's see. Borislav, did you have any updates on the, we haven't heard from, no, we're slicing in a while.
No, I was actually traveling last week, so I was out of the envelope, and I don't think the meeting happened last week.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure.
Okay. I know that Swami is going to be giving a presentation in 2 weeks' time, I think. Yeah, on Feb. 12th. On network slicing. Are you aware of that?
No, but I will get synchronized with them on the Monday call.
Okay, all right. So there is a presentation that's in the queue for network slicing, and they've reserved Feb 12 for it. Also, I've reached out to Lukasz from Nokia. So he has agreed to give a presentation on the PNF plug and play SO workflows, the building blocks. That's either going to happen Feb 5 or Feb 26. So I am waiting to hear back from Lukasz which date is better for him. and there is also a model driven Yang processing tool from Ted Johnson that we had when Marge called a meeting with the Albino with this topic came up. So that's also coming up as well. All right, Joanne, did you want to say anything about runtime config DB?
Yeah, I don't have much to add to be added since we gave you updated yesterday, right?
Yeah. I think it sounds like it's in pretty good shape, right? Where basically Yuri and Dan have confirm that the work that for Runtime Config DB, I think, is going to be part of CCSDK. We're continuing the project proposal, I think. So things seem to be in good shape.
Yeah, for the I think the TSD already proved for the level 3 for M3, because the scope, you know, for the Config DB only limited to the Sun use case. So the G release will have full bloom up, you know, entire Config DB algorithm. So we can have more discussion, you know, for the next step, right?
Yeah. Okay. And we'll meet tomorrow. It's at 8 a.m. tomorrow. So
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Ben, I have a quick question. You used to have a runtime DB meeting every Friday, but I noticed it's not there anymore. So
it is there. It's on Fridays. Every Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time now.
Oh, so move to 8 a.m. Okay.
Yeah, because the SONO of PCI meeting is at 9. So I'll add you to my Outlook calendar, but you should also be able to find, but I'll add you to the thing. So
I don't see it on the ONAP calendar either.
Yeah, that's why. It's not in the calendar.
So it is in the Zoom calendar. Well, I guess things here don't automatically go to the.
You have to do the mailing list calendar, and that automatically feeds the wiki calendar.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll contact you how to do that.
Yeah, I don't see the PTL meeting there either.
Yeah, right. They mentioned that it wasn't there either. So, but anyway, it's definitely, it's definitely there. Scheduled for 8 a.m. tomorrow. So, okay, I'll add everybody here to that meeting in case they want to attend. Okay. All right. So we're at time. Thank you everybody for attending, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Ben. Bye. Bye.